for 11.
Gary Byron here. Our next guest is running, challenging, I should say. She's running for Congress, challenging Rosa DeLauro. She's been in, my goodness, she's just been in office for way too, like 29 years, something like that, way too long. I don't know. You think of term limits, and then you think of, holy smokes, this is a person. Do you start to lose touch with the common folk when you're down in D.C. and in Congress for 29 years? I don't know. I think you do. Anyhow, she's been on the show before. I think that's what's that. Is that the 4th Congressional District?
I believe it is.
No, I think she'd know. She is Margaret Stryker. Margaret, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Thank you for having me here today. I'm doing well, thanks.
Good. That is the 4th Congressional District, right?
It is the 3rd Congressional.
Oh, pardon me. I'm sorry.
3rd District, yes.
3rd District. I got to write these down. I'll get them right someday.
It's okay. There are 5 of them, but...
no, that I knew.
...5 actually following the next census. It's entirely possible we will be losing one as people are moving out of state because of our lack of jobs and the tax rate issues and so forth.
Moving out of state. And then the New Yorkers are moving into state.
That is true.
And they're actually, I think they're moving down to the coastline, some of your area there.
I believe there are, you know, certainly many New York license plates popping up around here. But, you know, we've always had quite a large share. And we are certainly on the Metro North line. So we have a lot of people that are
right.
coming into the City Daily or at least as far as Stamford Daily. And, yeah, it's part of our economy. It's part of the tri-state region.
Without a doubt. And one of the things I was saying in my lead-in to bringing you on is, you know, how Rosa DeLauro, I don't know, I think she has, is it 29 years? I know it's close to it, if not.
She will be rounding out her 30th, yes.
Yeah. People can debate, and as they have. It's been a long debate on term limits. There are people for them, people against them. And it's really not even a political issue. I think it's just, you know, people who just say, you know, I realize the Senate is... 6 years and the House term is 2 years, so maybe 2 Senate terms, that would be 12 years. I don't know, maybe 5 House terms, that would be 10 years. Okay, so are you a term limit type of person? And if so, what would it be?
I most certainly am. As it pertains to the House, I believe it should be 8 years or 4 terms. And if you rise to leadership, because I do recognize that seniority matters, you know, when you're running a country.
And it takes a while to get there. Even.
You should be eligible for an extra up to 4 years. So 8 years, if you can't rise to seniority, you know, leadership position, then it's time to go home. And if you can, and you're still winning your elections, of course, you should be eligible for an extra 4. So 12 years max there, and then I believe 12 in the Senate is appropriate. Although if people are arguing that you need to have 3 terms for up to 18, I can live with that one too.
Yeah, maybe that's another leadership thing.
Yeah, I'm most certainly a term limit person.
Do you think that, I don't know, that you start to lose touch with reality on your constituents once you become really comfortable within the Washington Beltway?
I would say so, but I'd also look at it a new way. This is servant leadership. We are people who are elected to serve our constituents and then go home or move on and do something else. These are not meant to be lifetime careers. One is not supposed to, you know, enter Congress the first day they're eligible and then leave when they're 99 years old. You know, God willing, they live that long. But I wish everyone a long and full and healthy life, but the purpose of being a representative is to represent the current needs, bring fresh voices, bring fresh ideas. And this is more about civics than it is about politics. Right? Civics kind of speaks to us and says that we should be renewing. We are not, a European titled country where, you know, a king or queen can hold office for a lifetime. We all must rotate in and out, and that is part of what makes our democracy so great.
You know,
frankly, where it's starting to really crumble is these people that feel that they're entitled to a role for their entire life.
Well, even the presidency has term limits, you know. You bring up good points as far as getting to a leadership position, too. I mean, because it takes a while to get to a leadership position. And you don't want to say, oh, okay, I got this leadership position and now I can only serve for 2 more years and 1 more term. That wouldn't be right, you know.
Right. And you don't want, you know, effectively the kindergarten class to be running the whole show. There is an appropriateness to having seniority. And the proverbial gray hair.
Yeah.
Right, you do want some of that, but you don't want it for 20, 30, 40.
No, good point.
It's not okay.
Yeah, I agree. So last time we chatted with you, I know you had been had done some killer fundraising. In fact, even to this day, have you outraised your opponent?
I believe I have. Yes, and it's really a challenging time, and it's hard to do this in this environment, and everyone is feeling it. So it's also learning how to do it in a way that is new and novel and speaks to the time and also speaks to the, the COVID restrictions and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you certainly have to be nimble and quick, and you have to want to do it. And I do.
So what does that entail then in this day of COVID? Where people are, I don't want to make light of it. Listen, I know there's vulnerable demographics and there's not vulnerable demographics of our population. I'll put it that way. How do you get out there in lieu of shaking hands, and there's really no events that are going on. They've all been postponed. How do you, as a person who doesn't have the name recognition as your opponent does, how do you get out there and become more visible? That's got to be a challenge in and of itself.
It is a huge challenge, but one that I hope I'm rising to. I'm doing a lot of door knocking. I think I've personally been to over 1,900 homes, and obviously you social distance and you stand outside, and if people are at risk, they stay behind the glass of their screen doors or whatnot, the glass doors. And I'm doing a lot of radio. I think I've been on the radio 4 times this week. We actually just started our commercials, our TV commercials, on Tuesday, which has been quite nice. I'm doing a Channel 8 news interview in about an hour. And so trying to get out that way. And then I'm also making a lot of phone calls and doing it the old-fashioned way. But it is hard because, part of this position is to go out and try and speak before 100 people at a time,
right,
or 200 people at a time, whatever it may be. And many of those meetings just aren't happening. And frankly, Zoom is great. It's really a nice Band-Aid, but it does not get you the whole way there.
No. And that's it's exactly what it is. It's a Band-Aid. It doesn't cure. It just,
yeah.
Covers.
It's a nice cover, and it's a temporary one, and it certainly adds an efficiency. And I've had the opportunity to have some wonderful discussions. I was able to be on a call with Mike Pompeo a few weeks back. I listened to General Petraeus yesterday, and so there have been some really amazing things that have come out of that. But I will say, in terms of making those connections and really kind of getting to understand people, I really prefer seeing someone face to face.
Absolutely.
So there's just been a lot of door knocking, and there's just a lot of kind of the old-fashioned, coffee clutches and gossip circles, if you will, where, I take my daily walks and I'm talking to people. That's how it goes.
That's what you got to do. I heard you got the recent endorsement of Bob Stefanowski and Linda McMahon.
Yes, I have. And I'm also very proud to say that Ambassador Nikki Haley endorsed me.
Oh.
And I thought that was a big one. I'm truly honored for that. And and the Independence Party as well. So I'm both the Republican and the Independent candidate, and I certainly hope to be your next Congresswoman.
My 2 terms in the House, I State House, of course, I was cross endorsed as a Republican. I am a Republican, but I was cross endorsed by the Independent Party. But what I want to talk about is, how in the world? I'm impressed. You've got some big names there. I mean, from Bob Stefanowski to Linda McMahon to Nikki Haley. How did this come about for them to endorse you? This is very impressive.
I'm a hard worker. I lay out a compelling argument. And I think also everybody understands it's time for a change. Mm. We need a change. We need someone who respects the rule of law, who understands that we have a lot of work to do. A once very prosperous state is no longer, and under the past 30 years, we've watched it decline year after year. We have the second highest effective tax rate in the country. We have jobs leaving our district faster than anyone can blink. And with it, the people are moving out, and I know we talked about, new coming in, and that's kind of a nice boost, but it was an unexpected one, which hopefully we can make use of. But we have some real fundamental issues about rebuilding our economy here.
Mm-hmm.
And rebuilding our infrastructure. And by the way, I'm adding to the list our telecommunications infrastructure. But we have to work at putting this back together. And we are one of only two states, Wyoming being the other, that hasn't recovered from its 2008 employment numbers. So this really speaks to a fundamental mismanagement across the board in Connecticut. And you can see that in a one-party system.
Yeah.
And I would say that if it was one party in either direction, it will have different issues, but you fundamentally are not designed to have a one-party system. And that's what we have in Connecticut with all of our senior roles in government.
Not only our congressional delegation, but even the trifecta here on the state level, governor, House and Senate. That's been one party rule for a lot longer than our congressional delegation, you know, or even
and our senatorial. So our U.S. senatorial,
right.
Our U.S. congressional, and then of course within the Connecticut legislature.
Yeah.
And it's a broken system when it works that way, or rather doesn't work that way. And we are all recognizing, and you knock a house. People, Democrats are saying, I've never voted anything but Democrat in my life, but this year I can't do it anymore. Right? It's just not working.
We are speaking with 3rd Congressional District candidate Margaret Stryker, and she's up against Rosa DeLauro. What have you learned since the last time that we chatted? I don't know, it was about a month ago or so. What have you learning on the campaign trail, that you were surprised with, even over the last month or so since we've last chatted?
Well, I am learning, and I'm not surprised by it because I feel the same way, but how much people love living here. I mean, people really do love it. Their homes are here, their lives are here, their families are here, their memories are here, and nobody wants to be in this situation. We all have some, you know, belt tightening to do and a little bootstrapping, but people are committed to working towards making this better. And so that is just a positive and inspirational moment.
Yeah.
But I'm also sadly learning just how hard the effects of this lockdown are hitting people.
Oh.
And I'm seeing, you know, I have unfortunately kind of gotten close with, there's been domestic violence issues that I'm now witnessing what's happening. And, you know, there's clearly cases of alcoholism and drug abuse and things like that. And all of this is just on the rise. And I've spent a lot of time recently speaking with police departments. And, of course, I'm someone who most clearly is going to be not defunding the police, but listening to them as they're speaking about what's going on in each of these communities in their 25 towns in this district across almost 500 square miles. So there's a lot of land that's being covered here. And there's a lot of very, very negative stories coming out of this situation.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I really just hope that we can all work together and move past this very quickly, especially for our children.
Margaret, you had mentioned a moment ago how you've even spoken to Democrats who will be voting Republican for the first time because they don't like the one-party rule and the direction our state has been going in. You've also mentioned obtaining the independent line. How do you attract the independent voter? That's a challenge to attract. It's great to get the line, but to earn the vote of the independent voter, how does one accomplish that in this day and age?
I mean, I would say this as many different ways, and I think this is very important to understand. The independent voter in Connecticut is really issues-based, right? Mm-hmm. This isn't a novel concept, and a vast majority of them are technically unaffiliated voters. 41% of this district is unaffiliated voters. So they say, you know, country over party, and I can agree with that, right? We have issues that we have to address as a nation. We have to deal with our fiscal, we have to deal with our economy, we have to deal with what it means to be an American right now, what it means for law and order, what this means about the police departments, what this means about equal opportunity and equal access. And so speaking issue by issue, and there you have it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most people, and I'm certainly one of them, we want to wake up, we want to go to our jobs, we want to raise our families and see them grow and see them thrive and, you know, maybe go out for a nice dinner every now and again, right? At the end of the day, it doesn't matter where you are on the economic spectrum, life can be, you know, simplified into these basic things. We want the safety and security of our families and our neighborhoods. We want the right to educate our children. We want to be able to, you know, pay our bills and know what they are and afford our health care. So, you know, God forbid something bad happens, we have, you know, medical access to treat whatever the issues are. Right? This is not, in some ways, rocket science. This is like, we just all want to live our lives in peace and safety and security and have the opportunities that we should have for the hard work which we do.
Wow.
And that's a conversation. Right?
Yeah, no, that's a super answer, Margaret. Margaret Stryker, by the way, who's on the line with us right now, she is a congressional candidate for the 3rd Congressional District.
And if I can shill for a second, it's Stryker2020.com.
Oh, please, I'm glad.
Stryker2020.com. And on Facebook, which honestly is a little more, you know, up-to-date because that's just very minute by minute,
yep.
It's Stryker 2020 as well.
Will there be a debate with Rosa DeLauro?
Breaking news. You heard it here first. As of yesterday, she has finally accepted to engage in a debate with me.
Whoa!
So I'm thrilled. I haven't yet heard that we've come up with a date, a place, or a time.
Okay.
Although I believe that the Jewish Federation of New Haven will be hosting it. And I believe it will be in the first part of October, but again, I guess she has to make herself available. And so we are working towards that. So hopefully there'll be news about that very soon.
Well, you heard it here first, folks, right out of the mouth of Margaret Stryker herself. Breaking news. She divulged it right here first. There is going to be a debate. Now, we don't know the day or the time or the location, but there's been a commitment.
Baby
so.
Steps.
That's all. Hey, listen, you take what you can get at this point. There are. I was talking to David X. Sullivan, who was here not that long ago, and about a week ago, and he can't even get Johanna Hayes to even acknowledge nothing. He can't get boo out of her. So kudos to you for your team.
I also have to say, like, in all sincerity, this is part of our political process. Right. This is recognized. The format of debate can change, you know, 3 people or 5 people or whatever it may be. But to stand up in front of your constituents and stand next to your challenger, your opponent, and debate the issues as they're presented in real time, kind of looking each other in the eye and having the ability to have that conversation, you know, a structured conversation, it's part of our process. And so to not engage in it or to not acknowledge that you've been asked to debate, it's doing your constituents a disservice.
Absolutely right.
Like, I'm pleased that she finally realized that this is important.
All right. Really quickly, your website. I got 20 seconds, not even 20, 15 seconds. Your website again.
Okay. Website is Stryker2020.com, and that's Stryker2020.com, and same for Facebook.
Check them out on Facebook. Thank you very much, Margaret Stryker. Appreciate your time with us this morning. The
pleasure
is always ours. All right. She is running for Congress against Rosa DeLauro, 3rd Congressional District.